It's hard to believe that this year's Zman, this journey, is coming to a close. This is the second to last year in this series. I've learned an enormous amount. And there is more to learn. So for those who are interested in continuing to learn, you have the Maror Mekomos, you have the book. If you think about it, of the 40-some responses that we got, that Ben Gurion got, 46 or 48 people who responded, we only got through about 20 or so. So there's a lot more to learn here. But these two shiurim that we're going to conclude with take us back a little bit to the beginning, and hopefully we'll put some of the ideas and the whole concept of Mi Yehudi in a little bit of a bow that we can take away with us, right? If we start to go back and we think about Professor Urbach and Professor Altman and Rav Chaim Heller and Rav Herzog and the Lubavitcher Rebbe and all the different personalities that we met, it was a very, very broad spectrum of people, and there's even a lot more, and there are others that I wanted to get to who we didn't. We didn't talk about the Sri Diyesh. We didn't talk about Professor Hugo Bergman. We didn't talk about tons of people. But there are certain yesodos, and we started in the Hakdama. If you remember, way, way back when, in September, we had three introductory shiurim on what is a Jew. What is a Jew? What makes somebody a Jew? What is Judaism? Who is a Jew? All that, the introductory pieces. So several of those conversations went back to teachings from Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And so what I'd like to do is come back to some of those themes now in conclusion and explore them together this week and then the last year, way back to the beginning of some of the things that we talked about that we'll put in a new context. So today we're going to talk about the second half of this issue of who is a Jew, which is, for example, when we went through Rav Gorin's letter, Rav Gorin spelled out in great detail all the Maror Mekomos of the criteria of what makes somebody a Jew. If you remember, he had this. This was his article. This was the very long article, Rav Gorin's article, his essay to Ben-Gurion, and it had two parts. First was all the Maror Mekomos that we went through. If you remember, we went through them inside of whether somebody is Jewish or not, mother, father, all that. But then he had a second section, because he said, wait a second, once we establish that the halacha is koveya, that the child of an intermarried couple where the mother is not Jewish, that that child is not Jewish, then that child undergoes conversion. And we saw the similar discussion with Louis Finkelstein. A lot of these approaches coalesced around the halachic view that then this child needs to be converted. Well, the second part of the conversation that Rav Gorin gets into is, well, what is conversion? What is his gairus l'or halacha v'historia? What is it? That's the question. So we know that there are multiple steps. There's what we call mila, tevila, and kabbalah sol mitzvos. A person will go to a bezdin. So for example, they'll come to the CRC bezdin, and they'll say to them, they want to join the Jewish people, they want to become Jewish, they want to be a Jew. So the bezdin will go through a process, and the Gemara in Yevamos talks about this at length. So we're not going to go through so much today exactly the process, which is what Rav Gorin is dealing with here halachically, but he and many others refer us to a Tanakh model when we think about conversion. And that Tanakh model for conversion can help us unpack not so much the way that we relate to a convert, because that's an interesting question in and of itself. Do we pursue converts? How do we react when somebody comes to convert? What about somebody who's already converted? We have a special mitzvah, v'ahavtem es hager. Not so much how we relate to gerim, but what does the process of conversion mean? What is that process? So who is it that Rav Gorin and a bunch of other letters that we've talked about, who do they point to as the Tanakh model for conversion?
Rus.
That's right. Rus.
Gave it away.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Exactly. Oh, so we talked about it. Yes, go ahead. Good. So Yisro may have been a convert. Avraham, of course, was the Rosh HaMizgairim. So there's not the only one, right? The Jewish people as a whole, we were Mizgair when it came to Maimon Har Sinai. That was the conclusion of our Geirus process. Oh, good. So Rav Goren and many other letters have emphasized that Rus writes, she says, Ameich Ami Velokayach Elokai. Your people is my people, and your God is my God. So many of the letters that we studied this year about who is a Jew emphasize this idea that the Ameich Ami, the national quality, cannot be separated from Elokai Elokai. Those two need to go together. Okay. But yes, go ahead.
That doesn't go to the third part.
Well, what does it mean, Elokai Elokai?
It means that I believe that
okay, good. So that actually brings us. What I'd like to do is take a look for just a little closer, for a closer look, for a more precise look. When she says, she doesn't just say those two words, and that's what I want to focus on. Kind of relates to that, where Chazal definitely identify the acceptance of mitzvos with this. It's interesting. For example, well, let's go to what she says. She says to Naomi, I want to go with you. And Naomi says, nah, what are you going with me for? This doesn't make any sense. So she says, good morning. Grab this chair right there. Good morning.
You sure?
Al tifki bi. Don't push me away. Ki el asher tilchi eleich. Where you go, I go. Uva asher talini alin. Where you sleep, I sleep. Ameich ami, your people are my people, velokayach elokai. Then she goes further, it's not done. Ba'asher tamusi amus, where you will die, I will die, v'sham ekaver, and there I will be buried. So it's an interesting list of things that she commits to. Your people is going to be my people. That's a national identity. But before that, she said, Asher telchi eilech, where you go, I go. And where you sleep, I sleep. So the Gemara identifies this with the concept of yichud, of very specific halachic requirements that she's accepting upon herself in terms of how she's going to conform to religious and Jewish and spiritual practice. I wonder, if you look at them, they have a certain character which will help us think about these aspects in light of the concept of what is conversion, which is what I want to focus on. The first part where she says to her, I will go where you will go. Where you sleep, I will sleep. Your people are my people. There is, interestingly, a specific quality to each of those three commitments. It's interpersonal, right? Where you're going to go, we're going to go together. It's a social commitment. Where you sleep, where you're going to make a home, I'm going to make a home with you. There's an interpersonal element. Ameich ami, even a broader, my nation. But then there's a shift. Elokayach Elokai, your God is my God. A relationship with God, that's personal. Ba'asher tamusi amus. Where people die, that's a solitary experience. Right? And v'sham ekaver, they're not going to be literally buried together. It means that the same path that you're taking in your destiny, I'm going to take. So I want to put this on hold for a second so that we can focus on this article, which is going to be the backbone of our discussion today. This article is published in Tradition in the winter of 1988 by Rav Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha. Now, it's interesting. This is not the easiest article to get a hold of because it was not reprinted in any of the books. You can only get it in the original Tradition. The origins of this article started in a Hebrew publication called Torah Shebal Peh, where he submitted a Hebrew article that was then translated by someone, and he reviewed it. So this is, he didn't write it, but he reviewed this document. And in here, Rav Lichtenstein identifies two aspects, which in one respect are complementary to each other, and in another respect are actually competing or conflicting with each other about Geirus, about conversion, that we learn from Rus, that we're trying to convey, that the authors are trying to convey in many of these articles to Ben-Gurion, but they also relate to us, those of us who are FFBs, no, not converts. Rav Lichtenstein starts, and he says, let's look at Rus for a second. What happens when she first says to Naomi, I want to come with you? So what does Naomi say to her?
No.
Yeah, no. Right? No. Why does she say no? What does she argue?
You should stay with your people.
Stay with your people. And then she says to her, anybody remember, what does she say? She says something interesting.
There's no future with me.
That's right. Why is there no future with me? She says.
I'm all dried up.
That's it. I'm not going to have any more children. So what is she getting at? What is she getting at? What she's getting at is the first dimension of conversion, which is personal motivation. When a person converts to Judaism, what is driving them?
But Ruth had already married a Jewish man.
Yeah, we don't know what that means exactly. We don't know what happened. But we don't know that they are converted. Doesn't sound like they were. And she goes home. Exactly. So Rav Lichtenstein says, wait a second. When any convert walks in the door, there was a fellow who, interestingly, I don't know his last name, but he used to learn with us on Sunday mornings in the Kollel many years ago. He used to come to the shul. He used to have a chavrusa with one of the Kollel rabbis. We called him Kevin the Ger. Kevin the Ger. He was on the process of conversion, but as we say in Gemara language, lo estayim ilsa. It never happened. For several years, he had a chavrusa in the Beis Medrash Sunday mornings. Kevin again. Now he's Kevin the guy who's keeping the Sheva Mitzvos in Enoch. I don't know. Anyway, when a guy comes and he says he wants to be Jewish, it's the first question that the Beis Din is asking him, not from a formal standpoint, but just from a curiosity standpoint. Why are you here? Right? Why are you here?
I thought they're supposed to discourage you.
They will discourage him. But before that,
two or three times,
before they ever get to the discouraging, the first question that, forget about the Beis Din, that we're just interested in, the person needs to ask themselves, what's your motivation? One of the big issues in halacha over the past century has been the issue of conversion for ulterior motives. In Russia, this was a big challenge when many people had become communist, and it was, you know, conversion for all kinds of ulterior motives. This is a big, big challenge. But so let's talk about a sincere ger, a sincerely motivated ger. Rav Lichtenstein has an interesting observation. He says somebody who converts may be converting for two reasons. One is a type of transformation where they are, in a sense, running from their past. They feel that the life that they have lived until then has lacked meaning. It has been, you know, maybe it was criminal. Who knows what it was? It's interesting that there are sometimes in prison where people have religious and spiritual awakenings. In a certain sense, that is, Rav Lichtenstein is a very interesting model, which I never thought about until I read this article, that's almost like a geirus of tshuva. A geirus of tshuva, a conversion out of reformation, trying to rebuild themselves and their lives. That's one aspect. But there's a different aspect. And that is, not that a person had a broken life, a person had a good life, but they see an opportunity for something different, for a unique spiritual connection, for being part of something that's transcendent. And they see their opportunity to bring spirituality into their lives through the connection to Yiddishkeit, through developing a relationship with Hashem, through being Jewish. That motivation is what is behind, right, an authentic and sincere and beautiful process of personal transformation. So what Nomi is trying to put out the feelers for initially is like, why are you coming here? Obviously, this is, well, not obviously, but this is not a geirus of tshuva. She has nothing to do tshuvas for. She had a very good life. Orpah's going to go back. They have a fine life. She's saying, well, maybe you're converting for a particular reason. It's not because you want to be created anew. And she says, no. I want a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want that opportunity. And that is, as Rav Lichtenstein points out, that is an inner experience. Nobody else, no other human being can grasp what is in your heart. So we can't really even understand that person's motivation on the deepest level because it's very personal. It's not something that they can even potentially articulate in words. And whatever words they give, it's much deeper than that. And this is an ordeal that totally changes their inner being. On this level, this is what Chazal say, a convert is gershin is gayer kekatan shenolad dami. What does that mean? A person who converts. That's right. Right, the idea, I don't know anything about Christianity, but I hear there's something called born again, something born. So, Mestama, they got that from the Gemara. Right, because in the Gemara, a person who joins the covenant with the Ribbono Shel Olam, becomes part of the Jewish people, who is a Jew, is literally kikatan shenolad, to the extent that, one opinion, the Gemara, says that a person who converted, who had children when they were not Jewish, would not have fulfilled, this is Reish Lakish Shishita, would not have fulfilled the mitzvah of Pru Revu, because the prior life, it's disconnected, doesn't exist. It's an interesting question the Gemara has about Kibbut Aveim. Yes?
Why did they pick the Jewish religion? I mean, it's more than one religion.
It's a good question. I don't know. You have to ask. I never converted. But you have to,
understand,
right, you'd have to ask, you know, they obviously understand that there's something authentic and meaningful and spiritual that's drawing them. Yeah.
But the rabbis very often don't like people who convert because of marriage. But at the same time, many of these people may never have met a Jew before.
Okay.
So there is nothing wrong about...
Well, we're not saying right now anything is an issue of right and wrong. We're trying to understand what is conversion. And what we're identifying is that the first aspect of conversion is a personal inner transformation. And that inner transformation is an essential commitment to a covenant with Hashem. And a Jewish covenant with Hashem means a full, unequivocal commitment to absolute fealty. Right? That's what it means to be in a covenant. Which is why this first inner personal transformation is all about saying, the person saying, I want this level of relationship with Hashem. And that relationship comes with responsibilities.
Because when he goes through Mila, we say, Achniso Braviso Shal Avraham Avinu.
He's in a bris, exactly.
He has to go to...
Oh, so before we get to the go-to, but we're talking right now just on the personal transformational level. Right, you mentioned Avraham Avinu. Right. What was Avraham Avinu's, what was his process? It was an internal process. It was a commitment that was internal that said, this is my choice. I am choosing this relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Hashem says, amazing. We're in this relationship. So this is what it means. This is why it is not possible. It is not possible to speak of conversion without commitment to mitzvos. Because the essence of conversion is that level of covenant, of commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every covenant comes with expectations. Every commitment has details. And so the baseline, there's no such, you can't say, I want to become Jewish, but I'm not going to do the mitzvos. Then what is Jewish, right? That's what we started with for the first three shiurim. But now what we're understanding is that that idea of the commitment is at the first level, internal. And it's a total transformation. That's why Rav Lichtenstein points out, Chazal say, Ve'es ha-nefesh asher asu b'charan. Avram and Sarah, because they inspired people to follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's considered to be asher asu, that they made them, they manufactured them. What does that mean, that they made them? It means that when a person has that type of inner transformation, it's like they are newly created. They're newly minted. That's the first level. This inner commitment, this inner transformation. And I wonder if that's what Rus is saying to her. She's saying, Elokaiach Elokai. This is my spiritual journey now. Ba'asher tamusi amus, the end of my journey is going to be in that same path. Visham ekaver. But those are very personal. They're private. A person at the end of the day, when they think about their legacy, right, their ultimate story, it doesn't involve a community, it doesn't involve a nation, it's just their own soul, their own personal journey. She says to her, in the second part of the commitment, Ruth says to Naomi, she says, this is my spiritual journey, and I'm going to go with it all the way to the end. It's my personal commitment. That's what I'm ready for. It's not about you. It's about me. It's about me. That's one part of conversion. One dimension of conversion is that inner transformation that person, which I find is so inspiring, that a person who's not part of it, not born into it, but chooses to take on that inner transformation. But that's only half. Because as Rav Gorn points out, and as we know from Halacha that the Gemara tells us, there's not just the inner transformation, there's a procedure. You know that you can't convert someone at night. Why not?
They're tired?
Nope. Why can't you convert someone at night? Because the Gemara says, Mishpat Ksiv Bei, it is a legal proceeding, and we do not observe legal rights at night. Beis Din doesn't sit at night. Sometimes they have long days that flow into the night, but you don't sit down for a Din Torah at night. There's even a question if a person immersed in the mikvah at night as part of their geirus, whether it's chal b'dieved, whether it's even effective. Because it was at night! Because mishpat ksiv bei. Interesting. So on the one hand, there is this personal, private, solitary transformation. On the other hand, there's a legal, formal, procedural element to conversion. And what's interesting is that these two, they almost sound contradictory. Because on the one hand, we're saying that conversion is about my feelings and my inner experiences and who I am at my core, how I define myself, which is very personal. Versus showing up to a Beis Din, which means, oh, you have a role to play. I have to address somebody else. What do you mean? I thought that was just personal. I thought it was just me.
No, but they're complementary.
Oh.
Judaism has laws and also emuna.
Yes, it has emuna and laws. That's one way of breaking this down, right? It has the chovas halavavos, the duties of the heart, and the chovas ha'ivarim, the duties of the limbs. But there's another element here, and this is what Rav Lichtenstein is sensitive to. He says that there is a personal element, but then there is a communal element. The Beis Din is not just, they're not just an interpersonal element in terms of me versus you. They represent the community. The Beis Din, you could argue the Beis Din is this, just there to give the gushpanka on your personal transformation, but it's much deeper than that. The Beis Din is there because what they're saying to the convert is, when you are going through this procedure, there are elements that introduce you to a community. Communal observance, communal commitments. Right? The steps that the Beis Din is going to go through is they're going to ensure there's Mila, Tevila, in the days of the Beis HaMikdash that was a Karban, and Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos. That process, that procedural element is different than the personal transformation. That is what you said, Ira. Lachniso beriso shel Avram Avinu. That's different than the Avram Avinu aspect of I'm personally transformed. That's the idea that, wait a second, the Rambam wrote a letter to a famous ger, letter to a ger, where the questioner, Ovadia HaGer, asked the Rambam, he says, when I daven Shmon Esrei, when I pray, do I say Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak v'Elokei Yaakov? Am I a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Does that come from the personal transformation, or does it come from being part of a community? What?
It's communal.
Exactly. So therefore, the Rambam says yes. The Rambam paskins also. The Rambam paskins that when a person who is a convert brings bikurim, first fruits, and they come to the Beis HaMikdash and they tell the whole story of Jewish history, and they say, "Aramid Ovedavi, Vayivienu Alamakom Azay." You brought us here. What do you mean? That person didn't come here from Egypt? The Rambam says he says it also. Because it's not just that the convert has a personal transformation in their relationship with God. The convert has a transformation in that now they are part of a Jewish people. They're part of a Jewish nation, yes.
Mila. It's clear procedure. What's the accepted procedure?
Oh! You know what it is? It's interesting. That when right before the person dunks, they go through with them a quick checklist. They say, do you accept everything? Now, you can't teach them Kol HaTorah Kula. You can't teach a ger everything. But they have to ask, the bezin has to ask the person, do you commit? They have to verbalize it. It's interesting because we check their motivation when they started the process. So what are you doing now? You're formalizing it in a communal sense. They actually have to ask the person, are you prepared to accept everything? It becomes a big shiloh. What if they didn't do that formal? And this is where some of these difficult conversion cases come up. You have Nebuch people, they grew up in the former Soviet Union, and they were never educated. They come to Israel, so what do you do? It's a big crisis. Because if you were to ask them at the mikvah, are you going to accept all the laws that it says in the Shulchan Aruch? They're not going to say yes. So this becomes a big problem.
But at the same time, they are going to go to the Tzaddik, I'm going to die for the country, for the society.
Good.
So what do we do?
So this, it is a very good question. It is a very good question. But that doesn't mean that we redefine conversion. We may have to figure out what our relationship is with those people. Right? They may be Hasidi Umas Olam. I don't know what they are. We may have to find a mechanism for them, but we still, at the same time, we have to understand what is conversion. What does it mean to convert? And what we're saying that means now, that Rav Lichtenstein articulates much, much better than I am now, but, you know, he's not living and I am, so at least it makes it easier that you don't have to read it at home. We can actually have a conversation about it. What Rav Lichtenstein is saying is that these are both true. There is a personal transformational element, and then there is a level of communal commitment that requires the Besdin. So the Besdin needs to register, so to speak. It's like a registry. Why do they have to register the person? Why does it need to be in Besdin? Why doesn't the person just have a spiritual awakening on a mountaintop and they become Jewish? The answer is because Judaism is not just about being on a mountaintop somewhere. It's about being part of the Jewish people. Oh. And that is maybe why Rus not only has this personal awakening, but she also, in the end of the story, she comes to Boaz, she says, I'd like to marry you, I'd like to become part of this. And you know what Boaz says? What do we need to do? We need to go to the gate. We need to get the elders, we need to formalize this procedure. Because it's true, you can be a spiritual beacon of light, you can have this transformation, you want to leave Moab, you want to join the Ribbono Shel Olam's people, but joining the people means we have to formalize it with the people.
He went to the basement to prove that he was the Goel Adam.
So legally, he went to the basement because he wanted to be the Goel, exactly. Right. But I'm adding, maybe a shtickle homiletically, that what he's saying to her is, yes, it's true, you are an authentic convert. But an authentic convert also has to be part of the communal institutions. So we're going to get all these people and we're going to do it formally. And this maybe is what the first thing that she's saying to Naomi. She says to Naomi, Ba'asher telchi eilech, ba'asher talini olin, Amech Ami, she says, I'm prepared to do all of the social commitments, the communal commitments, the institutional commitments. So what Rus is saying to her, perhaps, is, I'm ready for both. I'm ready to make a commitment to the people, and I'm ready to make a commitment on a personal level to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as you said before, they're not contradictory, even though they're different. The first one is solitary. It's like the concept of tefillah. Tefillah is, on the one hand, it's a solitary experience. It's my own inner meditation and conversation with the Ribbono Shel Olam that nobody else hears, and it's nobody else's business. But at the same time, it's done in a Beis HaKnesses, Barov Am Hadras Melech, with a tzibur. There are two aspects. Yeah.
This is kind of like the different, why you said Yitro was a, also believed in Hashem, but it's a difference now, because Yitro said, yeah, I see Hashem's here. Moshe says, come on, stay with us. He goes, no, it's okay, I think I'm going to go home afterwards. So he's not taking on the communal aspect.
Nice touch. That's a very nice shot. Do you hear what Glenn said? You couldn't hear it on the line. I'll tell you over. Glenn just suggested, he said, maybe this is what Yisro wasn't willing to take on. That Yisro says, oh, I'm so inspired. Vayishma Yisro. Moshe Rabbeinu says, come, become part of the people. He says, no, thank you. You know, I don't eat bagels and lox. You know, I'll go. What's interesting is, and this is, I think, what is so important for all of us who are not converts, but who are choosing Yiddishkeit every day, is that what we need to realize is that in our Yiddishkeit, we have both of these elements. What's true for the concept, for the essence of conversion, is true, of course, in a macro sense of Yiddishkeit b'chlal, of all of our avodas Hashem. We need to remember that we are operating on two planes. On the one hand, Yiddishkeit and our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is solitary. Rav Soloveitchik wrote and spoke about how he was a lonely man of faith. What does it mean that he was a lonely man of faith? That he experienced loneliness?
Because everyone's on their own journey.
Yes! Does it mean he had no friends? No! It doesn't mean he had no friends. It doesn't mean he didn't have one. It means that when you face your Creator, whether it's during Shemona Esrei, whether it's in a moment of crisis, whether it's Shalosh Shudos, whether you're looking at children or grandchildren, when you're looking at a beautiful sunset, that is a solitary spiritual experience that exists in your lifnai v'lifnim.
It's like the period that we're in now, where we're going to be saying, Echa Yashva
Badad. Badad.
We're the sense of loneliness.
Yes. So that loneliness is not bidud, exactly. There were a lot of special, beautiful things about being isolated for a little bit. You turn inside. There's a certain intimacy in your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you're alone with Him.
Look what happened when we couldn't get together as a community. It was shocking.
Right. Rav Lichtenstein uses this, the individual, purely the sanctum sanctorum, the innermost of the inwards. That's part of Yadus. It's the part that's nobody else's business. That's your own personal conversation with the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's an intimacy. It's, quote, and he quotes tons of philosophers and authors and literary greats who I never heard of. Plotinus, quote, the flight of the alone to the alone. He quotes Whitehead, great line. Religion is solitariness. If you are never solitary, you are never religious. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, the Rambam tells us something really, really shocking. The Rambam, he describes, you know, a cast of characters that you do not want to be hanging out with. The Rambam talks about all the people who are not meriting the world to come, and the people who are wicked, Rachmana Litzlan, who make choices that contravene the Ribbono Shel Olam. So he talks about Aubrey Corson, people who deny God, they deny the Torah, they deny lots of things. Then the Rambam says, you know, there's one person who has no share in the world to come. Somebody who does all the mitzvahs. Does all the mitzvahs. Every single thing. But the Rambam says that person separates themselves, is porish midarkei tzibur, from the community. They said they're going to stay home. They're never going to interact with others. The Rambam says when there's a communal catastrophe, they don't participate. When there's an issue that's going on in the public sphere, they're going at it alone. The Rambam says such a person, ein lo chelek le'olam haba. You can hardly even speak those words. If the Rambam hadn't written them, who would have the audacity to say such a thing? But the Rambam says that what you have to understand is when the Jewish people have an experience, if you're not sharing that experience, you're not experiencing Judaism. Judaism must be contained also in a social, communal, national, interpersonal context. Yes, but that could be, picking and choosing could be even on a personal,
and on all levels.
But that's the point, that there are by necessity two different parts. The idea that in Yiddishkeit, and Rav Lichtenstein talks about how unique this was in Judaism, that we also have a communal dimension is crucial. The ger, that person says, I'm also part of Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. That's what makes us, in a certain sense, transcend time. Because on an individual level, in your, you know, your personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's just your journey for the amount of time that you're here. But the Gemara says in the beginning of Horios that Ein Tzibur Meis, the community, that's eternal. Thinking about the community, worrying about building institutions. You know, the Gemara tells a famous story in the end of Gemara Tainus that a man saw an old man who was planting. Right? Right? So the Gemara says, the guy says to him, why are you planting? And what was he planting? Remember what he was planting? Boxer. Boxer. Carob. How long does it take? The Gemara says, as a tradition, it takes 70 years. Right? So 70 years is just an expression for a really long time. A lifetime. Right? 70 years is a lifetime. So they said it's good for dentists. You break the teeth on it. It's good. So he says, why is he planting?
For the grandchildren.
Says, my children, my parents planted for me, I'm going to plant for my children. So that's because we believe in the concept of a tzibur. It's not just about my personal. You don't build an institution for yourself. Right? You don't build a shul or a mikveh or a school for yourself. You could go on without it.
It'd be hard getting a minyan.
It would be. But that's exactly the point. Can you have a full Yiddishkeit without a minyan? What did we learn? We learned many things over this whole period. But I think what we learned is actually, if you take this from a COVID lens perspective, I think we learned that both of these are crucial. By being in our own homes and davening by ourselves and experiencing Yiddishkeit by ourselves, we were put faced with the question of, do I have an intimate relationship with God? By stripping away all of the community aspects and just sitting down by myself to Shacharis, there's no one to talk to during Shacharis if you are alone, right? You can't come late to your own davening. Whenever you get there, it starts. So that's the first part of the experience. Is my Yiddishkeit the inner sanctum? Is there a Kodesh Kadashim of my Yiddishkeit? Do I have an inner spiritual world? That was the first thing that COVID pointed out to us. Do I have an inner spiritual world? And in some aspects of our Yiddishkeit, maybe we realize, you know, I don't know that we do. And I need to figure out what that is. Maybe my davening is just saying words. So that was one realization that we had over the last year and a half. But then there was another realization, which is that just having that inner sanctum is not sufficient. It's not adequate. There are so many dimensions of our relationship with Hashem which cannot be fulfilled just by sitting in our little corner at home alone.
We could take this meta even one more level because we're not just ourselves and a religion, but we're also a religion in the rest of the world too. So like when a ger, say, has a couple of kids and says, now I'm a newborn, it doesn't mean they reject their children. there's a context as well with the rest of the world.
Yes, and that's, Rav Lichtenstein alludes to that a little bit at the end, what Glenn was pointing out. This idea transcends just Judaism in the narrow. This duality, he says, stems from man's complex situation and fate, that we find ourselves in, quote, the framework of history, and that bears an obligation toward it. And so this is the push-pull coming out of COVID. This is what conversion is about, and this is what Judaism is about. Is on the one hand, nurturing that sense of intimacy with God in private, but on the other hand, building and sustaining the group's life and progress as also as part of our identity. And we're pulled in different directions. You see, there are certain people, they're all into building institutions, but when they're left alone with God, they feel very awkward. And then you find that there are people who are, they're very comfortable with God in private, but they're not committed to the community. And different times in our life, the goal, we feel differently. The goal is that we should be able to create for ourselves both of those elements. That we should have the Rus perspective, who is ready to be committed to the personal transformation and also the communal context. That is really the essence of what Yiddishkeit is all about. And so by actually taking this journey of thinking about who is a Jew and what does it mean to be Jewish and what conversion is about, it reminds us to go back to our own experiences and to deepen them and enrich them. So, Yashar Koach. Yes, question. Yes, go ahead.